Hallelujah. Amen. I'm ready to preach. I got my rag today. I got my message done. I usually get it over to Felicia and the media team by Friday morning, and then I just pray and meditate on it. But I wore out the battery on my other iPad. I done changed. I feel like just throwing those notes away and just preaching to you this morning. Are you ready for some rag waving, baby tossing, pantyhose coming down? Come on, dancing before the Lord kind of service. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. We ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth, church. We ought to be the happiest because we got the creator of all heaven living on the inside of us. The experience, what we just experienced, you know, people would pay money for that, that peace and that joy. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to follow this as much as I can. I said, Nick, try to hang on and follow me best you can. Lord, just have your way in this place today. You want your people to be fruitful. You want us, Lord, to walk around displaying your kingdom and your fruits in our life. We need them, and the world needs them more now than ever. People are looking and searching and seeking for something that is stable, something that is true, something that is trustworthy, something that is worth committing to, answers for the emptiness that people still have, no matter how many drugs or money or possessions they accumulate. And it's you. You are the answer, and we have it. Sometimes we forget that God is your people. Forgive us for that, for being distracted and listening to the wrong voices and being pulled away from where you want us today. Help us to be reminded today of this precious gift, the Holy Spirit that abides in us. Jesus' name. Won't you stand with me? Open your Bibles to John 15. We've been using John 15 for many weeks now as we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. But the only way we've been saying the fruits are produced, it's not works. And the only way they are produced in our life is if we continue to abide in Christ. Like a fruit tree abides in good soil, a fruit tree abides in a healthy environment, it will produce fruit. And so these fruits of the Spirit, if you don't know them, they're on your screen, Galatians 5. Paul writes and tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit, which we're calling the proof of the Holy Spirit, the proof that the Holy Spirit is working in a believer's life is he will produce, you ready? Love, joy. We're talking about joy this week. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are fruits that are produced in the lives of a believer when we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and not walk after our flesh, our feelings, but to lean into the Holy Spirit. And you have to learn to do that. You're going to have to learn to do that because all of your life we've been following our feelings. And feelings are real, but feelings aren't always true. You may feel alone. That's a real feeling. But I'm telling you, you're not alone. It's a false feeling. You may be feeling like you're not loved, and that's a real feeling, and you really feel that way. I'm not saying how you should feel, but I'm just telling you, you can't always believe your feelings. You are loved. Feelings are real, but they're not always true. And so in John 15, just one verse, and I'm going to ring it out with every drop I can today, is verse 11, but I want us to look. Verse 9 is where we were last week. Jesus says this in John, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If we quit obeying the Lord, we will drift from the Lord. That's just how it works. You hear me? I'm preaching already. If we don't obey the Lord, if we don't learn to live in a walk in a life of obedience, he says you won't abide in my love. You will drift. So obedience is something that keeps us in abiding in him. And then he says in verse 9, or no, where is he? Where am I at? Verse 11. Here's our verse. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He's talking about abiding in him, and he names the first two fruits that you're going to notice. The first two fruits come as a product, result, consequence of abiding in him. Agape love and this joy. I'm going to talk about joy, the fruit everyone wants. the fruit everyone wants. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Have your way in our place today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated today. Everybody wants joy. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Wasn't that worship just amazing, just fire? I told him the end of that worship was like fireworks. I'm just grand finales. He was going old school, new school. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just absorb that. That's just amazing. Hallelujah. The joy that everybody wants. Everybody wants joy. Everybody loves to laugh. You can give a comedy ticket to go see Tim Hawkins or anybody, these great Christian comedians. You can give it anytime, any place, and it's always good. Shows fill up. We love to laugh. We all try to create moments of joy, especially parents, don't we? Because there's nothing like nostalgic joy. And we love, sometimes we'll watch, that's why we watch some of the classics from the 80s. I show my son-in-law, Tyler, he'll come over, and I got to show him these classics. It's been fun, like The Fugitive, you know, or U.S. Marshals. And I'm like, you know, Wesley Snipes. You don't know Wesley Snipes? So you don't know. And they watch, and you watch, and you watch. But we love to watch these. Nostalgic joy is amazing. That's why we watch these movies, right? We go to these places, and music, and these things, and we create these moments, and we try to create these moments of joy, vacations, and going places with our family and our kids, because it's happiness, it's good. Joy is worth pursuing. Many people pursue money and think that money or status or possessions is going to give them happiness, but actually, do you know it's happy people? It's the other way around. Happy people get raises. Happy people get promotions. Do you know, as research has shown, that happy people live healthier lives and live longer? It talks about the blood pressure, and I'm going to get all into the science of it, but it's actually proven that we are healthier people when we are happy. Everyone wants this happiness, and the Bible says that it is given to all of us who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to lock and load this one statement. If you don't remember anything today, this whole message is summed up with this, that nothing matches the joy that experience in Jesus brings. I want you to lock and load that. Nothing matches the joy that experience in Jesus brings. In fact, when you experience Jesus, all other experiences are enhanced. Have you noticed that? You can look at a sunset and get happy. But if you know Jesus, you can look at that sunset and say, look at my God. I mean, know what I'm talking about. The joy of the Lord enhances all of our earthly pleasures, your family, your kids. It's this, and we as Christians have it, what everybody is looking for. But in order to really understand joy, we got to really start to break it down. So I'm going to try to follow these points that I have and stay in verse 11, because Jesus really has a lot of revelation and powerful insight in just that one verse. And so I want you to write these down. The first one is the distinction of joy. Just like last week, we had to learn all the different words of love in order to understand and appreciate the fruit of love that comes with Jesus, and that is agape love. We had to break it down, and there's four different loves. But with the agape love that we find in the New Testament, that is a fruit, it is agape love. Same way with joy, but joy is easy. There's only two kinds of joy. And they're both in that one verse. I want us to look at it here for a minute. It's in verse 11. Did you notice it? Look at it again. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy, everybody say that's his joy. He says that my joy may remain in you so that your joy, everybody say that's my joy, may be full. He says my joy, I got a joy. His joy is the fruit. His joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It's beautiful, it's organic, it's pure. It will sustain you. It's filled with nutrients. It's life. It's beautiful, it's powerful. It'll change your life. It's the fruit of joy. Our joy is described in the Bible as happiness. And it's not organic, and it takes an outside source to bring us that. But you can have some of this joy. So let me use this illustration to try to communicate what I'm understanding this to be. So it's like, how many here like mango-flavored stuff? Okay. I'm not a big mango-flavored person. That's not one of my favorite flavors. It's just not too good, you know. And you can get mango-flavored everything. I was looking it up. You can get mango-flavored pancakes, mango-flavored candy bars, mango-flavored mouthwash, mango-flavored tea, mango-flavored ice cream. It just goes on and on and on. You can get mango-flavored anything. And I'm just not a big mango guy, but a couple of years ago, Melinda and I went to Puerto Rico for our anniversary. We celebrate our anniversaries. We don't celebrate too many sweetest days or Valentine's. We do always celebrate our wedding anniversary. You got to celebrate your marriages, fellas, and celebrate what God has done. So where we were staying, they had a mango tree. And Melinda loves mangoes. And so she was like, go get me some of these mangoes. So I went, I was like, mangoes? Ugh, you know? So I went and got these mangoes, and I sat there, and I said, come on, I'm going to try one of these mangoes. I'm not a big mango guy, and I begin to peel that thing, and I smelled it, and I begin to taste it. And then all of a sudden, I began to taste it, Nehemiah. And I was like, woo. And then she put some of that, what's that stuff? Tahine? Yeah, okay. Y'all know. I was like, game changer. Hallelujah. Every morning, I'm going out there getting those mangoes. The mango is the natural fruit. Can I tell you that the mango is the joy of the Lord? It's a fruit. It's natural. Our joy is manufactured. It's the sweeteners. It's not all bad, but it's not all good. And you can put those flavors in just about anything. You can get a mango flavor from anything. But can I tell you, you can only get the fruit of mango in one place. And it's connected to a mango tree. And it's full of nutrients. It's full of energy. It's full of things that will change your life from your taste buds all the way through. Happiness is generated by man, though. We create happiness. Happiness is in the Bible 10 times. Joy is in the Bible 430 times. Happiness means to make glad. And it is something, as I said, we can generate, like the mango flavor. That's 100% man-made. And we can have experiences and possessions, and it's outward things that bring us to happiness. And it is something we can generate. We can be happy. Things can make us happy. I was happy with the Detroit Lions draft pick this weekend. Hallelujah. When they picked I'm the only one, me and Alon. Okay. The Detroit Lions, maybe some of y'all afraid to clap. You're like, I don't know where he's going with this. You can get happy. I mean, things can bring us happiness. And it means to be happy. Here's one of the scriptures that the word happiness is in. It's in Deuteronomy 24:5. God says, when a man has taken a wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home for 1 year, watch this, and bring happiness to his wife. He can bring, let me just stop here. You know, a lot of marriages can just be transformed by just being nice to one another. All we got to do is just treat one another. Guys, we got the ability. Don't say, and Jesus is going to make him happy, or Jesus is going to make her happy. He said, God, you can bring happiness to your wife. And I love it. He gave him a whole year. Why? Because we need some time to figure y'all out. I'm just going to say. Where's all the married people at here today? It takes a minute. Some of y'all been married 30 years. I'm still trying to get that mango fruit, baby. But we can generate a certain level of happiness. Now, I'm going to shock you with this statement, but it's true. You can generate a certain level of happiness even without God. You can bite into a Krispy Kreme donut and be as happy as, come on, when that red light, donut light comes on, you know, you swerve over with no blinker, all four lanes. Like a moth to the flame. And you eat that, you take a bite of that thing. How many know you're happy? Jesus ain't got nothing to do with Krispy Kreme. You can get a bonus, a raise. I mean, we can do a lot of things that here it says bring happiness in your relationship. You have the ability as a human being being made in God's image to produce happiness. Yeah. You can produce happiness. It's not all bad, but it's not all good, because you can also reach for things that make you happy that are not very good for you. Just like if you keep eating those sweeteners all the time and man-made mango flavored everything, how many know? You know, we don't even realize what we're putting in our body. We ain't gonna sell no more mango flavored drinks in our cafe no more. I told my mom, I was gonna talk about it. She said, honey, but be sure to tell them we put real slices of mango in ours. Okay, so that's just out there. But if you eat of the fruit of mango, there ain't nothing man-made. There ain't nothing generated. It is pure. It is beautiful. It is just like that. Happiness. And we reach for things that are man-made to bring us happiness. And what we've done as a society is we made happiness an idol. We will make major decisions based on a feeling. We will marry people. We will not marry people. Sometimes it's the same marriage, all because of feelings. Whoa, I was just enjoying my mango and he hit that one on me. So the distinction of happiness and joy is the source of where these come from. Happiness is man-made. It's generated. It's not all bad, but it's not all good. It is things that we create on our own. But let's talk about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is generated only by the Holy Spirit. That's the only place that generates this mango fruit of joy, is by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's my joy. I take it so personal that it is my joy. But I'm willing to give it to you if you will abide in me. This joy appears 430 times in the Bible, and it is all most of the time accompanied with a word that describes it as the fullness of joy. Yeah. Happiness must not be full. It must not satisfy. But this fullness of joy, King David knew about it in the Old Testament, and he wrote and he said, in your presence, only in your presence is the fullness of joy. And Jesus says it there in that scripture in verse 11. He says that my joy, when you have my joy, it'll take your joy and complete it and bring it to another whole level. Woo. Full, fulfilled. It'll be, he says it 3 or 4 times in the next few chapters, that my joy is full. I want your joy to be full, but your joy can only be full when you got my joy. Your happiness only goes certain distance. It only goes so deep, but my joy is so good that it will satisfy you. That word full, I want to get into it. That word, everybody say full. The word full is a Greek word that is soba. It means to be satisfied, to be content, to rest. It's the same root word as Shabbat, as Sabbath. In his presence is the only place where we're going to find satisfaction. His joy is the only thing that's going to give us contentment.
That's right.
And the reason why everybody don't shout when I say that is because we've all been eating artificial flavors for so long, we've lost the taste of real fruit. We've been eating so many times, being fed by the world's happiness, that if somebody comes along and says, taste and see that the Lord is good, you're like, no, I'm no thank you, bro. I'm over here all day long. I gotta expose this. I gotta get you hungry for the real thing today. Because if you don't know how good Jesus is, you're not gonna want Jesus. And we've done such a good job in the church of letting people know how bad Jesus is by us not producing enough of this fruit. And I'm not getting on you, I'm getting on all of us. It's time for us to push away the distractions, the phone, the things, and begin to say, I'm going to abide in you until I get this fruit of love. I need some agape, baby. I need some joy. I don't want no more fake fruit. Hallelujah. And you got to learn as a human being, as a Christian, you new believers that are here. I love you coming in. Many of you are like me. We're coming out of a lifestyle of addiction and all kinds of issues. And we're so used to finding happiness, our joy, by outward things. You got to learn how to dig in and find the joy that comes from Jesus. It's there. The moment you say yes to Jesus, we just got to stop long enough and look for it. This was my story. I think of that word soba. Reminds me of sober. And this was, that's how I think. Lindsay Andretti, that's how I remember it. Amen. So she's one of our kids directors, and she always makes fun of how I remember words. She remembered, I said storge last week. It's like storge, like tarjay. Anyway, it's a personal joke. You get older, you don't remember things the way you do. I honestly thought, Lord, how if I give up this, for me, it was alcohol. Lord, how can I be happy without this fake fruit that I've grown accustomed to all my life? Everything I did revolved around alcohol for me. It revolved around it. It may not be you. Yours may be going to websites where you find this happiness. It may be making that money. You got to get that money. You got to make that money. It may be relationships. It may be anything. And some of it is not all that bad. It's okay to have a relationship and things like that. And you can have happiness. But we have become, as a society, addicted to that level of joy so much that when Jesus is offering a joy, what did he say? That will satisfy us. We don't even look and stop and want to lean into it. And I begin to say, Lord, I don't know if I can live this life, but I got so sick of eating the man-made mango-flavored everything. Even when I was sick of it, I tried to give it up, but it was like, it just was there. Finally, I said, Jesus, I don't even know how, and I gave it up to him, and I began to just live for the Lord. And I had to learn, instead of reaching for something to bring me happiness, because that's what I'm used to, I had to learn to start leaning in and desire the fruit that's already there. And it takes time, and it takes process. And next thing you know, it's 6 months later. Next thing you know, it's like, well, because it's so easy to just go to where they have the man-made stuff and put a couple of shots of mango in there. It's so easy to get that short-term happiness. It's so easy to get the generated happiness feeling that we will do that rather than go and look for a mango tree. Because you got to find a mango tree. You got to wait, make sure the fruit is in its season. Because mangoes don't always produce all year around. And you got to find it and you got to look for it. And you got to say, this is what I'm going to be satisfied with. I love Jeremiah. He says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He said, I've had to learn to get my desire for something that I'm not used to. And I had to learn. You mean this Bible, this word can bring you satisfaction like a substance or like a making that kind of money? Absolutely. You got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man who went and discovered buried treasure in a field. He went and sold all that he had so he can have that field. And he dug it up. And for the joy that was set before him, he sold everything to buy that field. Woo. We got to learn. It's something you got to learn. We got to learn to look to Jesus for our satisfaction. Because you're not going to find satisfaction in anything else. If you're a single person and you're not satisfied with Jesus, you haven't learned to receive his joy, you can be a joyless single person. You go ahead and get married, you're going to be a joyless married person. You can be a broke person, but if you haven't learned to get your satisfaction and your joy from Jesus as a broke person, you can go ahead and hit that lotto, baby. Go ahead and get some money. You got some man-made mango happiness, but at the end of the day, you're going to be a miserable rich person with no joy and no satisfaction. Because he said in it is the only place where it is. Let me tell you something. Because his joy is worth this satisfaction and this joy, this fruit is worth looking for. Listen, I used to watch people's lives when I was living in the world. And I used to watch my parents, my brother, the Christians that I had in my life. And I would watch, I'd say, are they really happy?
Could they really? Because I didn't think you could be happy without my kind of happiness. Are they really, really happy? And I would watch them. They weren't perfect. They had their struggles. But they did have that joy. They did have that joy that just was on them that you could see. Can I tell you that there are people watching you today? And that's why the enemy does everything he can to keep us from abiding in him. He pulls you here. You got to watch this. It's an election year. What's going on with the Trump trial? What's going on with this one? It's all a mess. It's all a dumpster fire. But I can't help none of it if I don't got the fruits in my life. I'm just going to get pulled into this side. I'm going to get pulled into that side. And it's so easy to do it. I got to first be in him. Watching this stuff that's happening in this. We prayed Wednesday for Israel and for this anti-Semitic spirit that has crossed our nation. And we binded it and we came against it in the name of Jesus. And it is real. It is there. It is absolutely true. And it's trying to bring division and hatred and so misinformation that's all the devil's doing. We are called to be light, called to be salt, called to be leaders, and called to have some of what we can't do it. If we're caught up into these little fights, God is looking for someone that'll just stop and be in his presence. So the fullness of joy and the fruits will begin to come out of our life. And people will say, hey, I need what you have because I can't get it from Fox News. I can't get it from CNN. I can't get it from this politician. Only in you can I find joy. Can I find this agape love? Hallelujah. That's my political part for the sermon. It's the enemy's new weapon to divide us. Do you think everybody agreed with Jesus when he sat down and ate with him? Do you think everybody voted the way he did? No. But he didn't sit there and yell at them. That was the sons of thunder. Can we call fire down? I feel like that sometimes. These are idiots running around here and on our TV. Sometimes I see and I'm like, what is going on? But the Lord says, they're blinded. That's what's going on. And Jesus said, put away your sword, Peter. Sons of thunder, we're not going to call fire down. They're blinded. Jonah, let me remind you that these people are wicked, but they're also blinded. Oh, that's another message for another time. It's worth it. It's worth it. So you got the distinction of joy are in the sources. You got to learn to get your satisfaction from Jesus and from him alone. You got to learn to do that. Because it's so easy if we're in a habit of going to that website or going to that thing to find your happiness. But it's worth it. Why? Because look at verse 11. Jesus says this again. Now, let's look at something else. He says, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may remain. Let's talk about the durability of joy. Jesus says, I got joy and you got joy. It's happiness. We really don't call it joy, but you got a little feeling. But let me tell you about my joy. My joy don't require circumstances to survive. My joy don't require everything to go right in your life to survive. My joy don't require all the time dancing on the tops of the mountain. My joy is going to remain giving hell or high water. Let the mountains fall in the sea. My joy will remain. That's my joy. Everybody say his joy. His joy will remain. Our happiness is so fickle. It requires circumstances to survive. When tough times come, it's the first to go. Have you noticed that? You can be in a good mood. You can be enjoying everything. Then all of a sudden, something happened, and the first thing to go is that happiness. And a lot of times our happiness is robbed from us because it's what we are focusing on. It's what we're looking at. We're happy with our trip to Puerto Rico until you lift up Facebook and your friend went to somewhere else better and more exclusive. And then all of a sudden that joy just goes right out the window. Yeah. You're happy with that new car. You're happy with that phone or whatever it is. But we end up looking around and you're trying to look for joy. And Jesus says, hey, here's where you get the joy. So half of our problem is we got to quit doing this, quit doing that, quit trying to tell everybody your problems, thinking they're going to be able to give you the satisfaction that you have. You're uncomfortable, you're making them uncomfortable, and everybody's uncomfortable, and they're going to start avoiding you and wonder why we ain't got no friends. It's because the enemy has lied to us and said that people can actually feel your satisfaction tank, and I'm telling you, that's not the case. We don't have the capacity. We don't have the ability to give you and I what we need. He's the source. And many people think that if we get more money, we get more mango flavored in our life, that we're going to be secure and it's going to last. And so we go do it once, we do it twice, we do it three times. Next thing you know, we're looking, we're going to this thing like a 7-Eleven fountain drink, baby. Every day, we're going down there. Some of us are getting so many different flavors. Used to call it swamp water. That's when you run through 7-Eleven and go, shh. I mean, remember that. Was that only me? Okay, y'all remember. And that's how we are. We got to go here. We got to have circumstances. Listen, happiness only survives when circumstances are present. People think it's money. Let me give you this scripture. I love Ecclesiastes. He says, written by the richest man on planet Earth, Bezos and the Tesla guy, Elon Musk. Thank you, Elon Musk. See here? We already took the offering, brother, but I tell you what. You can pay this building off right now in Jesus' name. I'll give you a mango drink on the way out. They think they got money, and money brings happiness. Look at this scripture, but it doesn't bring joy. Those who love money will never have enough. This man knows. This man's horse stables, the hinges was made out of solid gold. That's how much money Solomon had. He made nickel and silver as common as stones. People would throw, that's just white. That's how much the economy was booming under him. That's how blessed he was. So this guy knows a thing or two about money. He said, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness or joy. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? I'm not preaching on money, but I can't pass this up. It's too good. First thing he says is those who love money will never have enough. The more money you have, the more money you will want. That's it. That's what he says. The more money you have, the more money you're going to have. You're going to hit that number and you're going to be scared. You won't even buy a candy bar because we don't want that number to go down any lower. Why? Because there's something about the Bible describes the power of money. There is money. There is power in money. You lay I've seen tables full of cash. And I'm telling you, when you look at it, if your heart ain't right with God, it'll pull you, baby, you'll kill yourself trying to get more of that. Give me all the mango flavor. I'm going to fill this cup up with my mango flavor, baby. Solomon says, the more you have, the more you're going to want. And he also says, the more you have, the more people's going to come help you spend it. They'll come out of the woodwork. The more you have, the more they'll take. There's a guy that, I love him. Before there was Saturday Night Live, there was In Living Color. There's a comedian named Jim Carrey. The guy's nuts, but Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. If you don't laugh when you watch that fool, then your wood's wet. I don't know. This brother's been on a journey, though. He's been drinking the fountain drinks of mango-flavored for a long time. And this man is on a journey to know Jesus. Just recently, he said, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of, just so they know that that's not the answer. You're like I was, but he don't know if I had that money. You know, you can't have success without my alcohol. You really, Jim Carrey, really, he's just kind of struggling with his money. How many millionaires have we seen take their own life? How many people with all the money Deion Sanders used to say, I have a suit, I have a closet filled with the finest clothes around, but I had no place to go. I had every car you can drive, but I had no place to go that would satisfy me. And he found himself on the curb next to the side of the road, contemplating suicide. This happens all the time. Why? Because man cannot live by mango flavored alone. But by every word, but by every word, but by every word, every fresh rhema, every revelation, every insight that comes out of the word of God. Oh, taste and see. Hallelujah. All these things are temporary. But what I love about God is that his joy never will fade. He says, my joy will remain. Let me tell you, there is an expiration date with sweeteners. There's an expiration date with your happiness. And you know it, and I know it, and everybody else. And so the voice and the narrative of the wicked one is to say, you just need more, or you just need to try this flavor, and he'll keep you at 7-Eleven all day. I don't mean to be putting 7-Eleven down, but it's fitting with my sermon. But he's going to have you go over here. He's going to have as long as he keeps you in the party store, he's got you. Try all those flavors, baby. Try every one you want. It's got an expiration date. But Jesus is saying, come, I got a fresh mango. I got a fresh mango with your name on it, baby. Come on. Taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Come on, if you believe that, give him some praise today. Give him a 10-second praise break. If you've tasted and you've seen, come on. Hallelujah, let him hear you at home. There ain't nothing like the real thing. There ain't nothing like the fruit Jesus can give you. Shoo, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The sweetener has an expiration date. But the joy of the Lord, it remains. This is where the sermon starts to click. This is where the message, this is where we divide the men from the boys. This is where we separate the secular from the holy and the sanctified, as Jesus is right here. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's all about finishing. It's all about following the Lord. And Jesus says, the thing that I need you to know is my joy. I want you to have my joy so bad, not because it tastes good, but because it lasts forever. I gotta get you to quit always judging and looking at things on how they taste. I gotta get you to quit making decisions based on feeling, because the joy of the Lord isn't a feeling, it's a fruit. And a feeling will come, but first it's a fruit. And I'm telling you, you won't always see fruits. There's going to be times when the fruit tree has no mangoes. But Jesus said, one thing is for sure, when the storm blows over, my fruit will remain. Sorrow may come through the night, but joy's going to be there in the morning. Joy's going to be there in the morning. Because it's not always a feeling, and we're always used to feeling. This was my thing. I needed to have a feeling. And Jesus said, it's all about, you've been on that diet too long. You've been running to this. That's why I love Jesus. Here I go. Jesus had to go, and he's looking for people, and he went and found a woman at the well. Come on, y'all know that's my story. He found a woman that's already had 5 different flavors, and every single one of them left a bad taste in her mouth. Every single one of them was just sick to her bones, and she was so devastated. She gave up on life. She started going to a well in the middle of the day so she wouldn't be judged, because she had so many failures in her life. But I'm here to tell you, somebody named Agape said, I got a mission from my Jehovah Yahweh, and I'm coming to show you, honey, you haven't messed up. You still got some taste buds there, but you've been feasting on something that won't satisfy you. And then he says this bombshell statement: if you only knew, if you only knew how good the mango is, babe. If you only knew, not religion, not this, not being a good person, not having a lot of money. If you only knew, if you only knew. The other afternoon, I've been having prayer times in the morning always, but in the afternoon, God is the presence of the Lord. I shared this with our staff Tuesday. Then this abiding thing, thank you for the feedback. Everyone is loving it. It is ministering to your heart. But you know who's getting blessed? Your pastor. I'm walking through stores. I'm walking, driving, going places, and the presence of the Lord will just come on me. I don't know. I got to stop. And just say, God, you see, because a branch is always aware of the vine. You're gonna say, hey, branch, you're attached to the joy. You're attached to agape. He says, I know, don't you know? And so many times we get so distracted. I need you to slow down and learn. That's what this whole series is about. It's about abiding in him and letting the joy of the Lord just begin to be there, and it's there no matter what you go for. But it's not a feeling. Feelings come. Feelings will come, but it's about abiding. Yes. It's about staying in him, about learning to be satisfied with Jesus, even if you don't have the feeling at first. I love what Habakkuk says.
A lot of pregnant ladies in our church. I'm giving baby names right now. Look what Habakkuk says. Even though the fig tree have no blossoms, even though, come on, the grapes on the vines, they're not there. Even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren. Even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Yet I will have joy. Yet I will have joy. Yet I will have joy. Shoo! That's worth your gas money right there if you don't get nothing out of this message today. You think it felt good to look out at his barns and see he has no cattle? That's his livelihood. That's what Jim Carrey's talking about. That's what these people that discover Jesus is saying. Man, the first thing I love, many of you say it. I say it. The only regret I have is that I didn't get saved sooner. That's how you know you're eating from the fruit. You're like, well, I don't understand what the big deal is. I like mango flavor, Pastor Eddie.
Is that how they do? My wife was telling me, oh, you got to taste this mango fruit.
I'm all, baby.
It's so quicker.
And I didn't like that, so I ain't going to like that.
Some of y'all been to church before, and you got hurt. It wasn't all that. You kind of give up on it. Oh, Pastor Eddie, I've tried the mango flavor. This pastor did this, and this sister did this, and that pastor did that. Jesus didn't.
That's right.
At church, they always look like this. Wonder why I ain't got no friends. Brother, I wouldn't approach you for $100. Whatever you got, I don't want. I got enough of that coming up. I got to fight that myself. Yeah. We'll go to a restaurant and get nasty food. Will you go back to a restaurant? Yeah, you will. Some people treat that with church. They go to church and church hurt you, and church hurt is real. It's a real feeling. It's a real feeling, but it ain't true. Right. Man might have hurt you, but Jesus said, come take another taste. I ain't hurt you. Yeah. I haven't hurt you. I'm here and I'll heal you and I'll restore you. So some of us need to put those cups down and get back and find your prayer time and say, Lord Jesus, I need to get back into you. I got to move on. This is the application of the entire message. You got the distinction of joy. You got the durability of joy. I want to tell you that now we need to talk about the decision of joy. Joy is not always a feeling. I've been saying it all morning. It can bring a feeling, but it don't always start that way. And we're so programmed to get that flavor, aren't we? Put a little more in it until I get that flavor just right. Some of y'all got a lot of sugar in that bad boy. And we got to get it just right. And we've been reprogrammed. We've been having an algorithm that we put out that we need this kind. That's why you say something. And all of a sudden you go to Facebook and there it is showing you 10% off. Man was preaching that at the men's conference. We're putting out the algorithms. We got so used to that. And Jesus is saying, let me show you how to change your algorithm. Let me reshape the way you value true happiness. Let me shape and reshape and change the way that you define joy. It's not by feelings first. That's why James comes along and says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. This brother, I need joy, but I ain't looking for it in that mess. So what's going on? He's telling us that joy is not a feeling. Can I tell you that joy is more like a filter before it's a feeling? Can I tell you, it's always been about a feeling, but Jesus is saying, I need to realign you. It's not always a feeling, it's a filter. It's how you're gonna look at things. Things you thought hurt you, things that you thought cost you something, things that you thought was an expense is actually an income. It's actually making you better. It's actually making you stronger. It don't taste good like that one at first, but keep drinking it, baby. Keep sipping from it. Keep tasting of it. Chew. It's where and how you look. I always looked for the outward things to bring me joy. Jesus says it's not always in the outward things, but it's in the outcome.
That's why Jesus says this in Hebrews, and I'm starting to close. What does that mean? Nothing. The mango drink's gonna have to wait. Look at this. This is deep. You talk about joy? Y'all know this scripture. Look at it again, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the... That don't sound like no mango flavored that 7-Eleven sell. You mean the joy? He endured pain? Yeah, it's in the verse. Look at it again. He says, because he set the joy in front of him. You don't look for the joy in the circumstance. You look for the joy in the outcome. I don't have a drink. And I'm not feeling it, but I'm going to look at the outcome. How my family's going to improve in 6 months if I lay the sauce down. How my marriage is going to improve if I lay that pornography down. How my finances will recover if I stay out of the casino. It'll be my relationships, how they recover if I quit hurting and abusing people. Did y'all get that? I know I'm excited up here today. Hallelujah. It's in the outcome. You mean I gotta keep coming to church, keep bringing my kids? I'm in pain. I'm arguing, fighting all the way here. Welcome to the club. You don't believe in the devil? Every Saturday night, he'll come in your kids' bedroom and mess them all up, keep them up, bouncing on the bed, get them sick. Y'all know you get up Sunday morning, and they were fine last night. I was in the shower this morning, and the power went out. I said, look at the devil. I kept, too much information. I kept on going, hey, you got to learn because it's not, we'll bleep that one out. Hallelujah. Because joy, this is where the message takes off. This is where the message takes root, is we've been looking for a feeling all of our life. And Jesus, when he was on that cross, he didn't transcend the nail pain in his hand. That pain was real. Because he's Jesus, he didn't suffer. He suffered every bit of that. He was so weak he couldn't carry his cross. And it's a 33-year-old carpenter, a strong man. And he could not even carry his own cross. He fell. But what I even love about that story is Simon from Niger is the guy that came out. The Bible says he was a black man. He came out and he helped him. And the Bible is specific addressing his color because he's mentioned again in Acts chapter 13 as one of the leaders of the Antioch church. Where the church was all about Jews, was all looking the same, all talking the same. And God said, y'all been drinking the same Kool-Aid. It's mango flavored. I'm about to mess everything up, but I can't. I got to get you off of that. Start drinking and eating of the fruit and watch the change because I created all these fruits, baby. Some of you need to create and know that diversity is of God and it's a beautiful thing. And he can even make something wonderful out of the times when you feel weak if we would just allow other people to come and help us that don't look like us. That's another message for another time. I don't even know what I said. Go back and watch that because the Holy Ghost is going to tell you something there. Jesus was tired. The pain hurt him. But it says for the joy set before him. He said, I know it's painful right now. I remember being 25 years old and getting, you know, one of my things was alcohol. Like I said, I delivered alcohol. I drove a truck and sold it. We could down a beer in the back of my truck before I even loaded up the dolly. We were just, boom, drinking all the time. And I came to Jesus and I said, Jesus, I don't know if I can live like this without it. You got to show me how to do this. And that's when I began to discover this joy. And next thing you know, I remember I got a phone call and he was inviting me to this New Year's party. Now, this New Year's party was the biggest party. We partied all the time anyway. We just needed an excuse to party. Thursday was Thirsty Thursday. Friday is Friday. Saturday, time to get turned up. Sunday, you rest, and then football, it's time to drink again. Monday, you drink it? Yeah, because it's Monday. Tuesday, we don't have a reason. See, when we get our eyes off Jesus, what I'm trying to say, Jesus, that's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, the devil has a lot of things that he would gladly let our eyes get on. And so it's where you're the filter. Joy is a filter. It's where you focus. It's where you look. And that determines your joy. And I said, Jesus, I'm not going to go to that party. And I remember I hung up that phone in the living room, 25 years old, all by myself. There was no worship music. There was no chill bumps, no goof bumps, no feeling of joy whatsoever. But the Lord said, I'm going to teach you something, Eddie. It's not always a feeling. I went back in. I sat down with my kids and was with my family for New Year's. It was the first time I was sober in New Year's Eve in 12, 13 years. You know how awkward? Let me tell you something. You know how awkward that was? It was very, it was so easy if I could just go over, shh. And I'm just trying to tell us to break away from something that we have grown accustomed to. For me, it was alcohol. You guys, some of you may not even have a problem with that. But it's money, it's something, it's whatever. The Lord will show you. There's a season when you're not going to feel the joy like Jesus did on the cross. But he said it was the joy that was set before him. Because the joy is not in the event, the joy is in the outcome. Really can't explain this joy until you experience it in the middle of a trial. I can tell you how good a mango fruit tastes to a person who's never tasted. I can tell you how juicy, how delicious it is. But I can't do you justice until you just get that bad boy for yourself. Peel it and bite into that bad boy. Same way with the joy of the Lord. Some of y'all have had this in your life, but it's shriveled up. You've learned to go to those other things, and the Lord is telling you, come back to your first love. Come back to where the source of joy. Lord, it's going to take a minute. Your brain's going to yell at you, scream at you. You're going to find 50 different things. You've got to learn to abide in him to get this fruit, but it's worth it because it will last. And then you learn how to make decisions that you're going to follow Jesus. And then that joy is going to come. Will you stand with me, worship team? Will you come as we close out the service today? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many choose joy? How many choose joy? How many choose joy? I'm going to choose joy. Ty Trebet, I've been having this song on replay. Joy comes, sorrow may come for the night, but only one night. I can't do Ty Trebet now. His whole song is called Only One Night. You may be discouraged, let it be only one night. You may be struggling, let it be for only one night. You may be wanting to give up, let it be for only one night. Because his joy comes in the morning. His joy's come. Don't be mad all year. Come on. Don't be sad all year. Some of you are holding a grudge all year. Some of you got that pain for all year. Let it go because joy is coming in the morning. It remains. It's there. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for joy. Many of us have neglected it, Lord. We've developed a taste for happiness. And you're standing there with that fruit trying to say, hey, slow down. I got something so much better for you. If you learn to abide in me, this joy is going to come. And let me tell you something, I've been eating this fruit for 26 years. Clean, I tell them at Life Challenge, clean and sober for 26 years and loving it. There's a difference. Loving it. Maybe you're here today, just bow your heads. If you're here today watching online, you don't know Jesus Christ and you need to receive him today as your Lord and Savior. Starts with saying yes to Jesus. If you're here and that's you, just lift your hand up high and say, pray for me today. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. Anybody here, raise that hand up high. Amen. Pray for me today. I need Jesus in my life. If you're at home, put your name in the chat. Pray for me. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many here just need that joy? You've been having that sweetener going on. How many's ready to put that sweetener down and get the joy of the Lord? But amen. Here's the good thing about it. Not the bad sweetener, but there are some happiness, like a husband and a wife. There are some, that's what I said. His joy makes our experiences even better. You just got to get that joy as your main source and start leaning into him. And it takes with just lift your hands to him today. I'm going to have the altar team come. These altars are open. And if you need prayer, you come and get prayer for anything. It maybe you got to go see a doctor this week. We do this at the end of every service, that you can come and get anointed with oil. You can come and get prayer. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need healing. You need a marriage restoration, standing in for somebody. We offer this at the end of every service. If you need a prayer answered, you need some prayer, you need to come up and get some prayer. The rest of you, as they sing, can we just lift our hands? Just come on, 2 more minutes. Let this word settle in your heart as we worship and as they pray. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just connect one more time before we leave today. Worship Him today. Let Him seal this word in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I am.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.